What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
You're not interested in art?
No.
Well, look, we're going to do this thing. We're going to have a conversation.
From the 2007 Toronto International Film Festival, I'm Matty Balgan.
And I'm Adam Kempinar. We're here with our second dispatch from the Toronto Film Festival. Of course, we had a show on Saturday where we recounted our first 2 days at the festival, our best and worst of the fest so far. And we're back now, Matty. We've seen, I think in the past 2 days, Saturday and Sunday at the festival, we've seen a combined 17 movies here over the past 2 days. You've seen 8, I've seen 9, and we've had some overlap. Some of the films that I talked about before you've seen, and vice versa. Why don't we start out with Saturday? You saw 3 films on Saturday. Which 3 did you see, and which one, if any, stood out as the best of the day?
In the morning, I got to take in Romare's The Romance of Astray and Celadon.
Mm.
And then I got to see the potboiler Michael Clayton with George Clooney. And the third was Stuart Townsend's latest, The Battle in Seattle. And of those, I have to actually say the George Clooney fare was probably my favorite.
Michael Clayton.
Yeah, and unfortunately, at its best, it's just sort of an airplane book, like sort of sitting next to the latest Michael Crichton. I could read this book on an airplane and feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
It held my attention. It was a nice way to pass the day.
Michael Clayton, directed by Tony Gilroy. I think Tilda Swinton's also in that.
Right.
And the actor whose name
Wilkinson.
Is giving Tom Wilkinson,
yeah.
Of course, who I've always really liked, other than maybe his performance in Batman. He's been an actor I've always really liked.
Yeah,
but
and here he gets this one great Oscar speech, and you can see him doing it. And you're like thinking, oh my God.
Yeah.
He is giving it his all. He
right.
wants this to play
yeah.
in March, you know, in the Kodak Theater. And he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's a fun movie.
Okay. Well, Michael Clayton is a film we're not going to get too much into. I'm not seeing it here at the festival. That's a big reason why, but also because we will review it when it comes out. It's either October or early November. I don't have the date right in front of me, but that is one we'll talk about in detail
exactly.
on the show, so we don't need to really get into it here. My 4 films that I saw on Saturday. I saw My Winnipeg, the Guy Madden documentary, his ode to Winnipeg, his hometown, which you saw and was your favorite film
exactly.
of the first 2 days. I finally saw that. I also saw The Princess of Nebraska, Wayne Wang's film, and it's actually a companion piece to another film he has here at the festival. Wayne Wang, the director of the movie Smoke, among other films. And he has another film here called 1,000 Years of Good Prayers. And he tends to like to do this kind of companion thing where he makes more of a glossy kind of studio movie and then along with it a companion that's a little more indie and edgy and artsy and, you know, low budget. And that's what this is. The Princess of Nebraska was the second film. And then I saw Glory to the Filmmaker, Takeshi Kitano's movie, which you also saw on Saturday or through the first 2 days of the festival. And I saw Eastern Promises, the David Cronenberg movie, which we're not going to get into here because we're actually going to have a full review of Eastern Promises on Friday's
right.
full show, our kind of Toronto wrap-up, because it actually opens on Friday. So we'll get into that some more. So I'm omitting for now Eastern Promises from my list of potential candidates for best and worst.
All right, so out of the rest,
yes,
what was your favorite?
Out of the rest, out of those three, it works really nicely. There was one fantastic film, one okay film, and one horrendously bad film, and it really goes in order. My Winnipeg, I think you actually undersold the majesty, yeah. Matty, of this movie. I'm sure Guy Madden's live performance was entrancing, but his performance in the film My Winnipeg, in this documentary, this really kind of abstract documentary about Winnipeg, his performance as a narrator that I hear on the soundtrack is really good. And just as a documentary, I was blown away by the fact that I was getting this really personal, intense look at his childhood growing up in this really interesting city. And at the same time, learning a lot about Winnipeg. And there's actually a lot more we could say about it, but we're going to hold off because I'm sure it's going to come up in our top 5 on Friday.
Right.
And also on Friday, we were able to get 20 minutes with Guy Madden just yesterday. And how fun was that interview?
Oh, what a terrific guy.
Yeah, so you'll get a chance to hear that on Friday. The full interview, we may not post the entire interview, but we'll post all of it on the website, the extra audio. But really, we thought it was a fantastic interview. Just a great guy to talk to. Interesting ideas, a lot of great things to say. Guy Madden's My Winnipeg, definitely up there, as it was for you, as one of the best I've seen so far.
Exactly.
And it was my favorite film, as I said, of Saturday. Then as you go on, The Princess of Nebraska, interesting film. This Asian girl comes over, not Asian, Chinese specifically, comes over because she gets pregnant. She actually lives in Nebraska. She is a student, but she goes to Beijing. She meets a guy. She gets pregnant. She comes back to the U.S. and she actually goes to San Francisco. And I won't get into kind of the convoluted plot. And it's not all that convoluted because it's actually pretty simple. It's 24 hours in the day of her life. But she gets involved with this other man and she basically goes to San Francisco to have an abortion. And it's just kind of the 24 hours of her trying to figure out kind of what she's going to do. It's an interesting movie. It's, I think, worth seeing if you ever get a chance to see. Again, kind of one of these more experimental type projects. I did like it, and there is a lot more we could say about it. But then, worst of the day, and we'll get to yours here in a second, it has to be the Takeshi Kitano film, Glory to the Filmmaker. And I know there are probably some people out there who are big Kitano fans, and that's totally understandable. I actually can't believe that you said, Maddie, that your worst film of the first 2 days was The Brave One. There's no way The Brave One is worse, and I haven't seen it yet, but there's no way that Neil Jordan film is worse than Glory to the Filmmaker.
Well, I think it's all relative. I was expecting more out of Neil Jordan and Jodie Foster in that cast. I didn't have any idea what I was going into, and actually, I think the first, with Glory to the Filmmaker, and I think actually the first two-thirds, well, not even two-thirds, it's like the first third. I think is funny. I think it's really subtle. What it is he's exploring all these different genres, mm-hmm. and I think there was some really clever stuff there in sort of the Mel Brooks mode, you know. But then when he actually starts to make his film. I had no idea what was going on. It's just one, this wonderful, unassuming Canadian sitting next to me just goes, wow, this is getting aggressively wacky.
Yeah.
And that I could not come up with a more apt description.
There isn't a more apt description. And you're right. I mean, I could quibble with whether or not he should have actually done more to actually spoof or parody the genres that he is, in fact, making a parody of. But it's Takeshi Kitano playing himself. And the movie starts as a gangster movie. And you're like, oh, I've been here before. And then the narration comes on. And it's like, yes, you've been here before. He's known for making gangster films. Now he wants to make something else. And he's vowed to not make any more violent films.
Yes, so then, that worked.
It works. You're literally watching Takeshi Kitano, the filmmaker. It's kind of one of those things where it's like the old story of the high school student who's asked to write something and has writer's block, so they write about having writer's block. Mm-hmm. It's a trick and it's kind of lame. And that's what it is for the first 30 minutes, him literally trying to make, like, well, I'll make a 50s piece, and we see that. I'll make an Ozu homage, and we get that. And then I'll make a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon movie. We see all these different things, a horror film, and they're kind of funny in this scary movie kind of Mel Brooks kind of way. And it really does kind of work. And then all of a sudden, without really even announcing it, he finally lands on a film, and it just becomes the film, and it becomes the whole rest of the film, and it's so incredibly out there, aggressively wacky. I mean, I just call it like non sequitur after non sequitur. It's just a scene to scene to scene of these weird things happening and gags happening that have no connection to what came before it.
No.
So Glory to the Filmmaker clearly was the worst film of my Saturday. And again, I am, just for the record, I'm overlooking Eastern Promises from here because we're going to talk about that more in depth on Friday. It doesn't sound like you have a worst of the day you really want to get into, or was there one film from Saturday that stood out for you as just being really bad?
No, there wasn't anything that struck me as really bad. And that's actually been my problem with the entire film festival this far, is that I have been completely underwhelmed by almost every film I've seen. I've walked away finding things I could recommend about each film, but for the most part, I have not gone to a film that left me wanting to scream, see this film, see this film.
Well, that is the different experience we've had, and we've seen very different festivals. We've had different schedules, and really have only had, through 20-some films between us, have only had three or four that overlap. And as we talked about in the first show, through those first 2 days, I had a lot of films. I had, I think, 10 films, and I had said basically I liked or really liked 7 of them. There were only 3, I would say, don't go see. That started to balance out a little bit more now, but I still have movies, as we'll get to here in a second, that I'm really passionate about. So we've had different experiences, and so maybe as our last 2 days of the festival go on here, maybe we'll see if it bounces out even more, and hopefully you'll get some films you love.
No, here's hoping.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to have to drown it with Molson.
There you go. Well, that's why it's here, I think. So, well, let's move on then to Sunday. You saw how many on Sunday? Did you see 5?
I saw 4. I saw 4.
Just 4? Okay.
4. Yeah.
Tell us first what you saw, the 4 movies you saw, and again, you know the routine. What was the best of the 4?
Well, I started off in the morning with this Argentinian film by Lucia Puenzo, XXY. Very interesting film. Then I went to Bucking Broadway. Peter Bogdanovich is reintroducing this thought-to-be-lost John Ford 1917 Western. So I think it was good for me to say. I'm trying to educate myself as a film critic as I go along, and I certainly, one thing I'd love to explore more is the silent movie era. So I'm happy that I got that experience. And then I saw Joy Division, the documentary, not to be confused with Control, the movie you saw.
Right.
And then I ended my night with Silent Light, the newest from director Carlos Rugadas. But this morning, Adam, mm-hmm. I was lucky enough to take in a movie that you had seen.
Yes.
No Country for Old Men, the latest Coen Brothers film.
Correct.
And let me just say, these Minnesotan filmmakers came to the rescue and really saved my experience. My favorite film so far.
Okay. Well,
absolutely beautiful.
And that's probably about all we want to say about it for now, because we're going to review it in depth. It was fantastic. It was your favorite so far?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you feel, I have to say this, you feel every single shot is mm-hmm. a masterwork. I mean, it's beautiful to watch.
Almost every single line and delivery of a line is also a masterwork.
It's amazing. It's amazing. They are back to what they do really, really well.
Yeah, it's a really fantastic film.
But now, how about you? How was your Sunday?
Well, my Sunday, I saw four movies, and again, I'm off my streak here. On Friday, I took in six, and over the past 2 days, I've only managed to fit in four movies. I'm feeling insufficient here, Maddie.
Let me just tell you, Adam Kempinar is the type A personality.
I'm the machine Shelley Levine.
It's absolutely hilarious. He kept me up last night lamenting the fact that he was only going to see, was it four films?
Four films, yeah.
Four films.
I want to try to get to five if I can, but as it turned out on Saturday, we haven't mentioned yet, part of the reason we didn't get in more movies was that we had an interview. I had an interview that morning. Sam Riley, the actor, the breakout star, I think, from the movie Control, the Joy Division movie, mm-hmm. plays Ian Curtis. I had a chance to sit down with him and interview him. We're going to play that as a separate piece Wednesday. So on Wednesday, you'll get that as a download. About a 14-minute interview with Sam Riley in his first movie and really doing a fantastic job. And then also we had a film spotting meetup. We got together at the Bedford Academy from 5 to 7 with about 10 or 11 listeners, and or as I like to call it, not Film Spotting Meetup, but Sausage Fest 07, since it was all men there at the Bedford Academy, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, but what a great group of people.
Yeah, I mean, apparently we don't have any female listeners in Toronto to come
look,
out.
Well, look, that's why I was brought on board.
Yeah,
all right,
to try to get the female audience.
Have you seen me?
Audience in.
Have you seen me?
Yeah, I have, unfortunately. I'm looking at you right now. But so we had a great meetup. Everyone who came out, fantastic time. Really just great always to meet up with the listeners. That was our biggest one we've had so far, I think. And you've been to one before in New York. We got together with five or six people, and that was a lot of fun. You just came out as a listener and as a fan as well and as a friend and had a good time. But this really was, you know, again, we walked away both thinking, wow, we have such cool listeners.
Exactly.
And that's really nice. So that was Saturday. And then on Sunday, I went to Bill Maher and Larry Charles did a panel discussion where they showed scenes from their new movie, Religulous, which is the film they made. And of course, Larry Charles is the guy behind Borat as well. And so this is really a look at religion around the world, the big three, really, of course, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And they really look at those religions. And of course, Bill Maher being Bill Maher, he's really trying to point out the ridiculousness of religion in general, which is why it's called Religulous. And if you see the clips from the film that we saw, it was sort of hit or miss, just like Borat was for me. And it's very similar to Borat, and they're clearly trying to, in a way, insult or patronize the people that they're talking to. Mm-hmm. But at least here, it's Bill Maher just insulting them to their face. You know, there's no trickery going on. I mean, you're getting what you're getting. So I at least respect that. And I'm a big Bill Maher fan, so it was actually a really interesting discussion.
So let me get this straight. This was a panel with Larry Charles was there.
And Bill Maher.
Maher was there.
Yeah.
And
they did like an hour Q&A and showed clips from the film. It hasn't come out yet. So like we got to see the first images of this film here at this panel. So it was really interesting. So that took part of my day. On Sunday, I started out with the Brian De Palma film Redacted, an Iraq film. You're laughing. I don't know why. I also saw Across the Universe, the Julie Taymor movie. Then I saw Erich Nietzsche, The Early Years. This is a movie directed by a Danish filmmaker who actually used to work a lot with Lars von Trier. And as far as I understand it, the main character, Erich Nietzsche, is kind of Lars von Trier's alter ego. It's kind of his film school days. And so it's about this young kid going to film school and really wanting to just make movies about leaves. And that not really going over very well. And so that's what it's about, Erich Nietzsche, The Early Years. And then I ended the night with Atonement, the Joe Wright film, the adaptation, of course, of Ian McEwan's famous novel, well-regarded novel with Keira Knightley, James McAvoy, in that movie, Atonement. So that's going to be one of the big fall movies. And Sunday was, for me, the first Maddie ball game day where it was really dreary. I saw three movies that right now I honestly can't tell you which one I liked less.
Really?
Redacted, Across the Universe, or Erich Nietzsche. And of those three, Across the Universe is going to get a wider release, and we're going to talk about it in more detail when it comes out. So again, I'm not going to say too much, but it has its charms, just like Redacted and Eric Nietzsche do. It really does have its charms.
Yeah.
But by about the hour point, I was really tired of hearing the Beatles. And that's hard for me to imagine. And that's what Julie Taymor did to me with Across the Universe. I could rant about this film for about 30 minutes. I'm going to hold myself back. But in terms of the worst of the day, Redacted or Across the Universe, it would be, I was hoping Redacted would be the redemption of Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
I actually just read in the newspaper, Maddie, that at the Venice Film Festival, he won the Best Director Award for Redacted. I walked out completely underwhelmed. The directing, like it usually is from De Palma, you've got poor writing, you've got poor acting, and then it's awkward and not natural at all, and it just doesn't work. And everyone I've talked to has said the same thing. So who are these Venice people, the Venice judges, thinking it's such a revolutionary work? It's really Casualties of War set in Iraq, except more modern, where it's, you know, a lot of it's told from a digital camera and security camera footage and that. And I really thought it was going to be this really interesting kind of experimental look at something that we're not getting, the behind-the-scenes Iraq stuff that you know, we're not seeing in the media about this alleged, I mean, real event of these soldiers raping a 15-year-old girl and killing her and her family. And it just doesn't work at all. So worst of the day, definitely those films. Best of the day? Oh, Lord. Atonement. Atonement is right up there right now with the Coen Brothers movie for me.
Oh, really?
As the best of the festival so far. I maybe even like it better than the Coen Brothers film. And again, this is another movie that's going to get a bigger release that we'll talk about. I don't want to give anything away now, but I was lukewarm on Pride and Prejudice. This director, Joe Wright, made this film. I liked it. I know a lot of our listeners really liked it or even loved it. Sam really liked it. I just thought it was okay. Atonement is one of the biggest steps forward I've ever seen from a director from a first film to a second film. It literally goes from just a film like Pride and Prejudice that could have been made really by anybody. Mm-hmm. There's no kind of signature touches on it or anything that really, in terms of the filmmaking, that really grabs you, or even for me, the story. In that case, you watch Atonement, this is a guy who has just taken huge leaps as a director. And I'd love to get into the specifics of what I'm saying, but I'm going to hold off. I just want to say that if you're hearing any of the positive buzz about Atonement, and I haven't seen really anything other than I overheard someone on the phone, another critic, saying he loved it.
Yeah.
I was just completely blown away by Atonement.
Wow.
It's really amazing. And that's a movie for me right now that would definitely be the best of my Sunday, Atonement.
Have you seen anybody famous?
I have seen more famous people. I actually got to ride in an elevator with Javier Bardem, which after seeing No Country for Old Men and then riding in an elevator with him,
terrified?
I was terrified.
I would just like to go on record and say this right now. If Mr. Bardem does not win Best Actor,
he won't.
Why?
You know he won't. They won't give it to him. I think it's probably too small of a role. I think he'll probably only get considered for Best Supporting, and then I probably think they'll consider it 2-1 note. They're wrong.
Are you kidding?
But I think they'll consider it 2-1 note playing a psychopath, and he'll get overlooked. That's what I'm guessing.
I have never been more terrified of a character just when he enters a room.
Never in the history of cinema. I will say that.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are on the Vanperbly
bandwagon. I am. I'm trying to bring Sam back into the room. But seriously, I mean, I was thinking about it. I can't think of a character I've ever seen in a film that when he walked into the room or when you knew he was in a room, you were more scared.
So uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So uncomfortable.
So that says something about the writing, the directing, but the performance as well from Javier Bardem. The interview we had on Saturday was the interview with Guy Madden that, again, forced me to miss a screening. It forced me to miss the Paul Haggis film in the Valley of Elah, which I know I had it in my top 10 most anticipated. I wasn't that broken up about it. We'll definitely get to that film, but that was the interview we mentioned earlier. We had 20 minutes with him. We're going to play it on Friday's show, and so that's something I hope people out there who are new to Guy Madden's work, as we are, will enjoy hearing from him and want to seek out some of his films, including My Winnipeg, when they actually get a chance to see it. So that's what's coming up here over the next couple days. On Wednesday, again, you're going to get the download, the single download of the Sam Riley interview, the star of the movie Control about Joy Division, Ian Curtis. And then on Friday, we'll have our full show. We're going to talk about Eastern Promises.
Right.
We're going to give our top 5 movies of the festival overall. We're also going to, of course, have Massacre Theater. And we're going to talk a little bit about, even though it's not related to Toronto at all, we're going to talk about the documentary The King of Kong.
Right.
Because it's a movie we've both seen that's been getting a lot of buzz, and we want to weigh in on it and share that movie with listeners. So that is Friday's show, and this is our second Toronto Dispatch for Film Spotting. I'm Adam Kempinar.
And I'm Matty Ballgame. Thanks for listening.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Film Spotting is brought to you by Spout. Visit filmspotting.spout.com to discuss this episode.
From the 2007 Toronto International Film Festival, I'm Maddie Balgan.
And I'm Adam Kempinar. What's up with the high pitch in your voice this morning, Maddie?
Because you've been giving me notes on how to talk into the radio mic for 5 minutes.
This is true. Already we're squabbling. The new era of film spotting has begun.